Isn't that what we strive each and every day? The songwriter says that my heart shall be thy throne. To live for Jesus is not just something that we say. It's not just something that we reflect on. But it's something that we believe. And our text today deals with that. But we can't do it of ourselves. There is nothing within this fleshly portion that will allow us to be able to do what Christ wants us to do. There's nothing within us that allows us to freely go forth and do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. There's nothing within our heart that allows us to walk in the path that He would have us walk in. But it is through the Holy Spirit and through the love of God that we can even say this morning that we are indeed children of God. Not because of anything we have done, not because of anything that we have bought or paid for, not because of anything that we deserve, but only because we trust and believe in Him and have faith in Him. And that's the reason why we can attain the reward that He has prepared for each and every one who believe. I'd like to take the text for today in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and reading the first 14 verses. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and beginning with verse 1 and reading the words in Jesus' name. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not that He not have you ignorant. You know that you were idols carried away by Gentiles carried away unto those dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give to you understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into the one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning, petitioning You that You would speak to us, that through these words we would leave out of here and use them as nourishment in our everyday lives as we continue on in this walk. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This particular chapter is in answer to a letter that Paul received from the Corinthians. We see in chapter 7 and chapter 8, it was the same words are used. And he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren." And in chapter 7, he says basically the same thing. He says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me." Chapter 8, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, These are an answer. These two or three chapters are an answer to the letter that he received from the church of Corinth. And there were things that were going on in that church. And it's not abnormal. It's that there would be things that are happening that, you know, there would be confusion or there would be strife or misunderstandings or whatever the case may be. But he's trying to straighten it all out. And he's trying to make those see that indeed everything has to be done through Christ and not of yourself, not of man. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I want you to understand. I want you to know what these spiritual gifts are and what they do. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. The church of Corinth was primarily made up of the Gentile people. They came from diverse backgrounds. They came from different areas. They all had religion, but it was not faith in Christ. The real religion that they had, they would look at idols that were made by man, and they would look to them and they would worship them, and they would expect answers, which they never got. They would expect it to be able to do things for them, which it never did. And they turned away from there. And they worshiped the one and only God and his Son. But let me ask you, even though, and you look into your own lives as I look into mine, even though things that took place in the past, are they ever brought to remembrance? Does Satan ever bring them up and say, well, this is what you did? That's a battle that we have to face in each and every day. And he will bring these things up. And he will remind you of the things that you did, even though they have been forgiven and washed in the sea of grace. But boy, he's going to try to take you away from there. And he's going to try to take you from God's grasp in any way that he can. And make you feel unworthy of even being a child of God. And I believe that the same things happened with these Gentiles. Satan was there and he was always trying to remind them of who they were. And Paul is being very specific here. He says, you were Gentiles. You were carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. A lot of them were led to that. But he says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. It is suspected that there was somebody in that congregation that had done that. And that had said that Jesus is not who you think he is. That he is not worthy to be your Savior. And so Paul is very specifically focusing on this. But he says, and he goes on, he says that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You can't say that Jesus is the Lord if you don't have the Holy Ghost living within you. Because that Holy Ghost is what reveals, leads, and teaches. That Holy Ghost is what keeps you on the straight and narrow, so to speak, and reminding you of the path that you have to walk on. So it is through the Holy Ghost that we are able to say, even at this time, that Jesus is Lord. And you notice it says in that verse, there's just one word there that is so small, but yet is so very significant. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord. Not a Lord. The Lord. The one and only. He is the Lord of our life. And he is the one that must rely and trust on. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In these next three verses, Paul is saying that it is the same person, if you will, that gives these gifts, and it is God who is over all. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works in them all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The workings of the Holy Spirit is given to all believers. The workings of the Holy Spirit is given to each and every one. Maybe not at the same magnitude, maybe not at the same amount. You know, that's not to me to decide, but the point is that he is there and he is living within your lives. And he goes on to say, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. There are some that are walking around today, Christians, believers, who have been given multiple gifts, not just one, but have been given several. There's an old expression I remember years ago, and I hope I'm saying it right. It's just, by knowledge comes wisdom. And isn't that true? The more we know about this book, the more we understand who Christ is and what he has done for us, the more we understand how gracious and loving and compassionate he is for us. And if something were to happen, somebody's going through a trial or a tribulation or some type of a tough time, there are times that there are wisdom will come to that individual and will help that person through it and be able to lead them in a way that would lead them out of it. So to have knowledge, also wisdom comes along with it. Now that's not to say that it happens all the time, but to have knowledge of a situation or of an issue, that is recognized after a while. And those who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, they have a reputation in that. And people will come to them, and people will ask them questions. Where does it say this, or what does it mean by that, or whatever the question happens to be. And because of their knowledge, they're able to answer it. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now when it says this in verse 9, to another faith, it's not talking about saving faith. Because we all have that. We believe in Christ, we trust in what he has done, and he is indeed our salvation. And because of our faith in him, we are called a child of God. So we all have that. But there are certain individuals that the Holy Spirit will give to them an extra portion of faith. An extra portion in such that when a very or extremely difficult time is faced, whether it was by them or somebody else, they have that extra faith to be able to uplift. They have that extra faith to be able to help that one through the trial that they're going through. Almost as though they were closer to God. Almost as though the Holy Spirit were speaking to them and telling them, go and help that one. I'll give you the strength to do so. God works that way. He works that way so that we can continue on this path. He works that way so that we can be lifted up and acknowledge who he is and what he has done for us. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. I remember years ago sitting around with the older people at that time. It's kind of sad to say I'm in that same group right now, but I don't have the experiences they had. But they spoke of people who could do healing. They spoke of people that they had actually, in some cases, had even witnessed, where they were able to stop the flow of blood from a wound. And they were able to do and heal different types of sicknesses or diseases, whatever the case may be. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't explain it. But they had to give glory to God for it. And that happens. God does gift that to people. God does give that ability to people. And they never once mentioned that this person would glory themselves in it. They never once mentioned that this person thought that they were higher than somebody else. Because along with that gift, God gave them the humbleness to recognize that it was a gift of God. You see, this, all of these things that we're reading here were contentious in the church of Corinth. Because there were some that were there and said, well, I have this gift, so I'm better than you are. That's not true. That should never be true in a Christian community. Because each and every gift that we have can be used at a specific point in time. Each and every gift that we have can be used when called upon by God. And there is no one better than the other. To another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. There are those around that have worked miracles. I've heard of it. I've never seen it. But it's something that we just have to accept. There are those around who can prophesy. Now, here, when they're using the term prophecy, it is not foretelling the future. It is not used in that sense. But it is used more in the sense of teaching. It's used more in the sense of instructing and uplifting and helping the people along the way and in their church so that they can take from it and build upon it. They can take from it and draw strength from it to continue on that path that they have been placed upon. It's more kind of like a teacher, so to speak. That's not to say that there aren't those around who can see something that's going to happen in the future. I don't know. I've never witnessed it, but it certainly isn't beyond God's scope. And then he says to another, discerning of the spirits. There are some that are very, very good at looking at a person and being able to tell that, boy, I don't know. I'm not so sure about that one. Because it just, something just doesn't ring true. Something just doesn't ring positive. It happens in a spiritual sense. It can happen in a physical. It can happen in our work life. I've experienced it myself. My wife is much better at it than I am. And she saved me from doing some dumb things. But the point is that there are some who can discern the spirit in a religious context. And we're to listen to them because they will keep us from going astray or inviting something in that would lead us astray. And now we come to one that there's been a lot of discussion about over the years. The diverse kinds of tongues and to another, the interpretation of tongues. I remember one time I was in the grocery store back in when we first came out here. And I was talking with a fella in the aisle. And we got to talking about religion and faith. And he point blank asked me, he says, do you speak in tongues? I said, no, I don't. I said, I don't hold that as being a prerequisite to be a Christian. He got rather upset. And when we left, when we parted ways, we parted with me feeling as though he felt that I was less of a Christian because I did not speak in tongues. The Apostle Paul later on in this book tells us what he thought of that. That he'd rather speak just a few words in a language that people understand rather than speak a whole paragraph in something that they don't. Martin Luther says that speaking in tongues in this context is nothing else than reading scripture orally. You see, back in those days, or back in the days when this was written, because it was a Gentile church, there were a lot of nationalities that were there. There were a lot of nationalities that were a part of that church. And not all of them spoke the same language. And history or the study of this has found out that many times when they would stand up to read the text, which was a common thing to do at that time, it was done by several different people in the language of the people who understood. So say there were three separate types of languages in that church, there would be three different people to read the text, or four, or five, or whatever the case may be. And this is what this is speaking of. And those who read the text were the interpreters. They were the ones that interpreted the word. We have that, and not so much anymore, but I remember even as years ago, as most of you do, in the Finnish language, we'd have a Finnish preacher come, and there would be somebody to translate it and translate that word. And I remember hearing a conversation one time when I was a kid, and it was a topic of discussion that went on for a little bit, and the topic was, can he translate it properly? Speaking of a specific person that they were thinking of having do the translation. But you see, that is so important. It's so vital to make sure that that message is properly translated so that it doesn't give a false or an improper message. It's so vitally important to do that. Then he says, but all these things worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. All of these things are divided among mankind. And it is the same Spirit that does it. And the reason why Paul was bringing that out was because of the contention that was going on in the church at that time. Because people were thinking that their gift was better than the other. And that's not the way that it is. There is no one better than the other. For as the body is one, hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 and verse 16. In chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called by one hope of your calling. By one hope. You're called by the Holy Spirit. In verse 16, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. All things work together. All things work together for the good to those who believe. Having all of these gifts that are mentioned here have one purpose and one purpose only, to edify and build up the church, to edify and build up the people that are hearing it and take advantage of it. That is the point of having it. And for one person to say that mine is better than yours is like saying my hand is better than your eye. He says in verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of the one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. We are the body. We're sitting here this morning. We are the body of God, of his church. None of us is above the other. None of us is past or gone beyond or surged ahead. We are all as important as the next one. No one is any better or any different. You read further down into this text and it talks about things that in verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, for again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Could you imagine what that would be like? Let's say, for instance, somebody had the gift of prophecy, or had the gift of healing or miracles. And they say to somebody else, I don't have any use for you. I've got no need. There's no reason for you to be here. It's not going to work very well. It's not going to work very well at all. It's like a crankshaft telling a camshaft, I don't need you. For the mechanics that are here. The point is that everything works together. And when it all works together, it works smoothly. And it does what it's supposed to do. It all works to the glory of God. And that is what we should do each and every day. Focus on glorifying God. Because it is to God that be the glory. Great things he has done. And the greatest of all is calling me away from the life that I lived. The greatest thing that he did is be able to save me. That's what my God did for me. In his name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, God, for your word. And we pray, Father, that we would use these words even as we go out and be reminded of them as we walk. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. And hear us now as we come before, as we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.